If you want to ride high, they'll show you the road. Two swell guys to help shoulder the load. On the way-highway, they'll take a ride on the way-highway.
It's time for the way-highway on Adobe Radio. Brought to you by Nice Guy Digital and Dr. God Productions, with your hosts, Justin Ware and Sean Cowig.
Welcome to The Way Highway, a brand new radio show exploring the wild and wonderful world of weed, a comedic curation of Cannabis Americanus, hosted by two THC aficionados, me, Justin Ware.
And me, Sean Cowig.
For the next hour, lean your seat back. Let us take the wheel.
Metaphorically speaking, please don't smoke and drive.
As we take you on a ride with some fun passengers, some good tunes, and a crap load of detours.
And hey, if you enjoy our show, please tell your friends and family, well, maybe not your family, and come hang out with us on the social medias at The Way Highway on Twitter. Or you can send us an email at thewayhighway@idobe.com. And just to be clear, that's THEWAYHIGHWAY, The Way Highway.
Wow, that's very impressive spelling, Sean.
Thanks, buddy.
So Sean, this is our first episode. What is The Way Highway, you might ask, which is a little weird because you're a co-host. Mm-hmm. But say you asked that question.
Yes.
I would answer, it's a radio show for the next generation. Marijuana smoker.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you don't smoke or eat or vape or whatever the new technology is that you kids are doing, that is all right. Everyone's welcome to stick around.
And we're doing the show because we think that getting high is the most fun when you're hanging out with people you like, talking about interesting stuff. And speaking of people we like, we want to give a shout out to our executive producers, Katie LeClaire, who is also operating our board right now. Thank you, Katie.
Thank you, Katie.
And Brett Davern, who is outside doing something else.
Thank you, Brett.
And in case you're wondering about our bona fides,
mm-hmm.
I would just like to say that it is the truth. Sean, what's my birthday?
Your birthday is April 20th.
That's true.
That's 420, guys.
And Sean, what's your birthday?
It's April 21st. That's 421.
Right. So Sean is such a stoner that he was too lazy to be born on 420.
I tried, man. I just couldn't get out of there.
And he had to wait till the next day.
Yeah.
But it is true. We are 420 and 421. Mm-hmm. So and that's our bona fides.
That's what's up.
We'd also like you to know that we know that marijuana is not legal everywhere, and sometimes you need to have a little bit of a public service announcement to remind people to be careful. And we're gonna do that for you with one of our best friends, mm-hmm. the Super Friends.
Mm-hmm. Superman, man, am I glad to see you.
What are you doing on this deserted road?
Some guys from school drove out here and we're going to start fooling around with drugs. When I told them all drugs do is mess up your head and get you in a lot of trouble, they kicked me out of the van and drove off.
You're right not to get involved in the drug scene. Nobody with any sense wants any part of it.
How do I get home?
That's no problem at all.
And with that, Superman flew away with the child.
The child that sounded like a grown adult man.
Yes. And yes. Who was already in the van with the people that were doing drugs.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but just fooling around with drugs, which could mean a lot of different things.
Nobody with any sense fools around with drugs, which is why you're listening to me and Sean.
Yeah. Anyone with any sense takes the drugs. Do the drugs. Oh, don't fool around with
see,
the drugs.
If Aquaman had been there, he would have been able to manage it.
Aquaman, he would have been like, give me some of that.
Speaking of give me some of that,
there's
a segment that we're going to do every week where Sean, the human guinea pig, for the purposes of our show, is going to do a very serious product report.
Mm-hmm. Here we go. First, I just have to thank Patrick over at Edibles Magazine, our first sponsor. Go to ediblesmagazine.com and subscribe. Or, kids, this is an actual magazine. So it's like
a glossy book made out of paper. It's a magazine. So you can look for it at your local dispensary if you're in Arizona, California, Colorado, Hawaii, New York, Nevada, Oregon, or Washington. Edibles Magazine.
I do like that you actually had to tell people what a magazine was.
It's so out of date, right?
But it's amazing. It's glossy. It's very pretty.
Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful magazine. It's very well done. Congratulations, Patrick. You're a rock star. And so what I have today, these are Supreme Organics Almond Butter Cups, okay? So there are two cups in here. They're both 40 milligrams of THC each. And I go by the credo of you can always eat more, you can never eat less. So no, I'm not going to eat both of these right now. That would be crazy.
And Almond Buttercups, that was your drag name.
Almond Buttercups was my drag name. I used to come out and it's only Cher numbers. All Cher.
I always thought a good drag team up would be Cher and a Cher impersonator, and they could have been Cher and Cher alike.
Yes. Yes. So the packaging for this Supreme Organics Almond Buttercup, very pretty. We got a kind of a stripey purple and blue here. Easy on the eyes. It's got, you know, one of those codes that you can scan it that I never understand to get the nutritional information.
Oh, yeah. One of those. Yeah. Those things that look like a Borg cube.
Yeah. No, right. What is this? Scan my brain. And then inside of there, the cup itself is in a gold wrapper. Now, Patrick is vegan. He says he eats these. So these are all vegan.
So he's a vegan.
He's a vegan. Yeah. So there's no dairy in this. Now the only thing left is to tell you about the taste. Oh, it's delicious.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so Sean is diving fully in with the entire peanut butter cup.
How many were these cups?
All right, I'll let you keep chewing there for a second.
How many were these cups?
Yeah, he turned into the Kool-Aid man for a second there. But he's going to consume the entire cup, and then we're going to check back with him periodically over the course of it. And, you know, it's interesting. There's so many new ways to ingest. You can smoke, you can vape, you can eat. Mm-hmm. I retired from edibles.
Yeah, buddy. I was there.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I enjoy the experience of going down the way highway. But I got to say, edibles every once in a while can be a little bit of a wallop. I retired after it was actually my birthday a couple years ago. And my friend Neil brought us to the Dodger game, and I had a capsule. Is that even considered edible? It's really a swallowable. Yeah.
Well, I think they consider it an edible because what you're doing is you have a gel cap that has THC oil inside of it. So, or sometimes it's wax.
You're still digesting it.
You're still digesting it, exactly.
But I ended up getting... Really, it was really bad news. It kicked in about the third inning, and it got to the point where the seventh inning, they do God Bless America or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know, some tune. And everyone was standing up for it and removing their hats, and I was too stoned, and I couldn't get out of my seat.
Dude, you were ahead of the curve. You were peacefully protesting, and you didn't even know it.
I was, and I got very similar responses from the Dodger fans who were like, were you too good to stand up for that's the Brooklyn. I just made them sound like Brooklyn Dodgers fans instead of LA Dodgers fans, but they definitely were giving me shit as if I was intentionally just staying in my seat, but I was really too stoned to get up.
I saw you and I prayed that you were asleep. And I knew that you probably weren't, and then it was, you know, confirmed later that you were not. But I was praying that you had just fallen asleep.
It was bad. And then the worst part about it was my woman had invited people out after the game to meet me as a surprise celebration for my birthday.
Yeah.
And I was not able to make my own party.
Oh, Val had to come. She had to come pick you up, and it was just so sad. We felt terrible.
But anyway, Sean's going to have a much better experience.
I'm going to have a much better time. But I will tell you another thing about edibles that's funny is you can dose yourself with them. I've done that at times where, like, it's especially like a 5 milligram THC mint. I'll take it and then I'll do stuff. I'm walking. I'm on a phone call. I'm walking somebody's dog for them, and all of a sudden you're like, "Whoa, what happened to me?
Yep. My." There you go. Yeah. Well, and that may happen today.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to take a little break here, and we've got a fantastic guest, Mr. Joey Kern, mm-hmm. who's going to be joining us when we come back at the Way Highway on iDobie Radio.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Welcome back to The Way Highway on iDobie Radio, where Sean has taken off on his journey a little early to check in.
You know what? I honestly feel like what's going to happen is we're going to finish the show, and then you're just going to have to deal with the aftermath after we're done.
Yeah. Well, that's always the challenge with edibles, right. Isn't it? That yeah. the lag time mm-hmm. Can be rather substantial.
Yes.
We are very excited to have a guest whose company we very much enjoy. the one and only Joey Kern.
Woo!
Thank you.
We know Joey from...
How do we know each other again?
From the Dr. God Productions film Bloodsucking Bastards, which you can go watch on Showtime or iTunes or any of those things right now, mm-hmm. and you can see me and Sean and Joey,
yeah,
all together. Maybe
a
not
very
the same
underrated team. Film. I'm just gonna say that thank right you. Off the bat. I believe it's a very underrated film that I wish more people had an opportunity to see. It's out. You said it's on Showtime, right?
Yeah. Obviously, I agree with you.
Yeah, and not just for my performance, which is.
Which is stellar.
To watch.
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. Yes.
And such a good mustache.
My mustache definitely peaked at that moment in my career. I don't think I'll go anywhere from there.
Yeah. But also, you can see Joey's writing and directorial debut and also acting performance, but not acting debut. Mm-hmm. Big Bear, which is currently on Netflix, and also on TNT on Good Behavior right now, hopefully.
Yes. Yes, hopefully we'll be coming back for a third season.
Excellent,
find out.
First of all, thank you for launching this ship with us.
Oh boy,
I'm so pleased that you're here and slightly sorry for you at the same time that you're having to do this with us.
It's nice to get out of the house.
Yeah. Yeah, you've had a pretty major lifestyle change.
I have since we did our film together. Yeah. I've gotten married, which would be stressful enough, but mm-hmm. Which is amazing. But I have two little creatures now living in my house that are I procreated
mm-hmm.
children. Yeah. As they call them.
Oh. I thought gremlins, but no, children. Good. Gremlins, yes. Yeah.
Yes, I have a 2-year-old and a 5-month-old, and not that we'll take up too much time talking about them, but I get so little sleep that it honestly reminds me of being stoned a little bit. Oh. Since I don't really smoke anymore, I do feel it's somewhat dangerous for me to be on the road driving under these conditions, mm-hmm. And it kind of feel like I see trails sometimes when I look around, kind of when I'm stoned. It's amazing when I honestly haven't gotten more than like 4 hours in a row of sleep for about 2 months.
Wow.
And dude. Like every night, it's rough.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah. You're like, you know what? I'm going to double down. I'm going to knock out these two and we're just going to get this on the road.
Yeah. Two is a lot crazier than one.
Yeah.
And so it's, you know, don't get too stoned and have two kids right away.
You yeah. hear that, listeners?
But if you
lock
take
it up.
If you take anything away from this, so but were you ever sort of a smoker or
no? I definitely I feel like I'm known for being more of a smoker from like Super Troopers yeah. and things like that than because I get a lot of like stoner. I've done a number of movies that are kind of stoner-ish and centric, maybe stoner centric, mm-hmm. and people, hey, let me give you a joint. And I'm like, no, I unfortunately, I don't really smoke. It's kind of just a character I play.
Yeah.
So they didn't even want to smoke it with you. They just wanted to give it to you.
Yeah,
that's pretty
exactly,
awesome.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. And the super for those of you that haven't seen Super Troopers, Joey has a. First of all, you should go see Super Troopers. Yeah. Joey has a very famous sort of scene at the beginning of that where he is very stoned.
Yeah.
And do you find that like that makes stoners think that you're sort of
I think so, yeah,
connected?
Because I think that a lot of people that is kind of such a big movie in the stoner world that I you know it and it especially the beginning of part of that movie, you know, kind of where the guys are really kind of smoking the weed and everything like that. So it does seem like I get a lot of like stoner fans, which is great. Stoner fans are the best. They're very kind and generous with their weed, you know, and other things.
But. Yeah. Do people consistently try to make you say the line, "We're already pulled over. We can't pull over any further"?
No, you know, no one like, you know, no, it's not like Shrek where it's like, do the growl.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, no, not too much. I mean, that's nice. That was actually an improvised line, which was.
Shut up.
Yeah. Not in
that,
script.
Yeah. All right.
It's for your stoner knowledge out there.
Yeah.
You know, that we got to improvise, a good amount in that script. Mm. Actually, the very, very beginning, not to talk about that movie too much, but the very beginning when we're talking about the, like, you know, hey, if this is your beach, you know, can you, if somebody gets hurt on the beach, like, who can they sue? Do they sue the people in the front? In high school, I had gone on, like, a trip to Myrtle Beach with a bunch of friends, and we were really stoned, sitting on a balcony, having that same discussion. And so then when we were shooting Super Troopers, Jay Chandrasekhar was like, you know, we need something you guys talking in the beginning. You know, we don't have anything written, and it might not even be on the film, but can you guys just come up with a conversation? So I was like, I got a good stoner conversation. The beach. I mean, who owns it, really?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, if you're walking in front of the Ritz, and you step on a bottle... Who can you sue? The Ritz?
Yeah.
Can you?
I don't know. It's still a question that is unanswered.
You'd think they would have answered it.
Yeah.
I'm gonna find out tonight once this edible kicks in, man.
Yeah. It's funny because, you know, one thing that Sean and I have dealt with, you know, being sort of improvisers in, you know, people always assume, like in comedy, when people are playing stoners or even like in improv, if you do like to smoke weed, but then you're also doing improv, they assume that you ever do shows stoned, or you ever like, were you stoned when you shot that scene? And you're like, that's not really how that works.
Yeah, that's not, you know. Was Jack Lemmon drunk during Days of Wine and Roses?
Well,
probably.
I think alcohol is a little different, especially in that era of Hollywood.
That's true. That's probably true.
Those guys were up to a lot of shenanigans.
Yeah,
I did once in college. I was asked to shoot an anti-drug PSA, and I happened to be on shrooms when they came to get me to shoot it. So that was a really
when they came to get you.
Yeah, it was like knock, knock, knock on the door. And they're like, hey, man, you got to come shoot that PSA now. And I was like, you know, interesting. All
right. I love that they came to your house to get you to shoot something. By the way, if you're trying to act in Hollywood, don't assume they're going to come to your house to get you, to bring you to set. Well, that normally doesn't happen.
It was college. It was in the dorm. It wasn't out in L.A. That's funny.
But, and Big Bear looked like that's rocking on Netflix now, which is great. Yeah. And I've seen it. It's very, very funny, very enjoyable film.
Thank you.
And it sounds like you had a pretty positive experience.
I did, yeah.
Those guys.
Yeah, that was a kind of a labor of love. It was based on, kind of loosely based on something that happened in my life where I had been engaged to be married, and my fiance and I, we called it off. But my bachelor party, I'd already organized it, and everything was happening, so I kind of had to have my bachelor party because my brother was flying out and people. So, and we had in real life had kind of trained for this tough mutter thing, so we're like, oh, we got to do that. So I had to have my bachelor party, even though, you know, I wasn't getting married anymore.
Yeah.
So like, oh, that's a fun like little premise for a film.
It's a great premise and a terrible thing to actually have happen.
Yeah,
in
true.
Life.
Yeah. It's not fun to go through in reality.
Yeah. But there's a lot of movie premises that are like that, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we have a fun bit that we're going to do every week.
Great.
And it's funny that you mentioned the thing about who owns the beach, because that's actually a very perfect example of this. So we have a segment that we want to do called Things I Learned While High. It's called Things I Learned While High. And the idea of this segment is, you know, when you're stoned and you're hanging out with your friends, a lot of times you end up getting into those conversations, right? Like the beach conversation, which is, hey, what is the deal with this? Or what's the deal with that? And a lot of times, and by the way, those conversations were probably much longer and more extensive before the internet. Now you can look it up. But why look it up when you can discuss it without knowing?
Incessantly.
Yeah, it's so much more fun. So the first one that we're going to do, and by the way, we encourage anyone to tweet or email or send in your own, mm-hmm. and we will talk about it first without really knowing what we're talking about, and then we're going to find out the answer.
Also, just so you know, I don't know anything about this, Joey, so I'm in your boat.
Great.
We both don't know what this is.
Sean doesn't know. So the first question...
And you're stoned already.
And I'm kind of starting to get stoned. So okay.
Someone may come and get you any moment for a PSA.
I got to do it.
Oh, I got to go, guys. So the first one, which was based on a real conversation that I had, and the actual story behind this is surprisingly interesting. What came first, Babe Ruth, the baseball player, or Baby Ruth, the candy bar?
Oh, gosh. Like, was maybe Babe Ruth named after a candy bar?
Mm.
Is that kind of
interesting?
I kind of feel like... the candy bar came first because I think Babe Ruth, I don't think his real name is Babe. Uh-huh. I think that he, I kind of believe that he was not born with the name Babe. It was a mm-hmm. nickname, a moniker.
I tend to agree with you, but I also think somehow in this story, Babe Ruth's going to get mad about the candy bar, even though it came before him.
Absolutely.
Because for some reason, I just think Babe Ruth might be a dick.
Well, he's dead.
I know. Like an egomaniac, though. He'd be like, you know.
Well, yeah, the Bambino.
Right.
Well, I will tell you the answer is, you know, the obvious answer or you know, is that the candy bar was, you know, that he stole the moniker. But the truth is the Baby Ruth candy bar was actually introduced in 1921 by the Curtis Candy Company, which was a year in which Babe Ruth slugged 54 home runs, which was more than any other team in the National League. Mm-hmm. So basically at the height of his powers, and they came out with a candy bar called the Baby Ruth.
Mm-hmm. Did he sue?
Well, here's the funny part about that. The candy bar became huge, so much so that they were dropping it on little silk parachutes over cities to promote it.
this is when silk was real cheap.
And Babe Ruth had no... piece of the candy bar.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So he, understandably resenting the success of the candy bar, which he thought was named after him because he was Babe Ruth and famous, came out with his own bar called Ruth's Home Run Candy. and the gross. Curtis Candy Company, because, you know, in America, even candy companies are evil.
Right.
The Curtis Candy Company then sued Babe Ruth for copyright infringement. claiming the candy bar was not named after Babe Ruth, but after Baby Ruth Cleveland, the daughter of President Grover Cleveland. But it was a little bit dubious because in 1921, Cleveland had been out of office for 20 years, and his daughter had been dead for 17, having died of diphtheria in 1904 at the age of 12.
Damn.
So they claimed that instead of naming the candy bar after the most famous athlete in the world, they named it after a dead child Diphtherian of a former child. U.S. president, and they won.
What? Whoa.
And Babe Ruth That's had to America. Cease and desist and had to stop making his candy bar. And not only that, Babe Ruth rubbed it in by the famous spot in Wrigley Field where Babe Ruth called his shot. They put up a billboard right there of Baby Ruth, and it was up for decades.
No. Oh, no.
What happened to the Curtis Candy Company? That doesn't sound like they're around anymore.
I think they got... diphtheria. They got diphtheria. And that, ladies and gentlemen, was...
Hi. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think on that note, we're going to take a little little break here for a couple of minutes.
Yeah.
And we'll be back with Joey Kerr.
Let's take a break.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Welcome back to The Way Highway. We are here with our guest, Joey Kern, who is currently looking at some of the disturbing selection of edibles that we got.
These
from
are really,
magazine.
Really seem kind of dangerous to have around the house.
Yeah,
some
for sure.
Of these. I mean, these look like Advil, but and this is just chocolate.
These are CBD capsules. So the thing that's good about these is they're not psychotropic. So taking these would be like taking a bunch of Advil or taking a Xanax. None of that paranoia or like stoned, what is going on? Just more like, oh, I'm super relaxed.
Oh, all right. Yeah.
The chocolates would not have that.
The chocolates would be outer space, man.
But none are good for kids.
No, none are good for kids. And I do think it's funny that the box says sustainably farmed on it, but does not say keep away from children.
Right.
Seems to me the main thing that you would want to put on there.
Yeah, you'd think that you think there'd be maybe some tape on it.
I do know somebody. I do know somebody once who had ecstasy in a Altoids container that they left in their fridge, and their roommate was like, "I want an Altoid before I go to work."
A cold Altoid.
Yeah. And took an Altoid before heading to their serving job.
Oh man, what a day!
Where they at like they worked at like a steak restaurant. So if there's anything you don't want, it's to be around steaming piles of meat that you have to carry out from the kitchen.
Hey man, speak for yourself.
So don't do that. Don't just leave things unmarked in your refrigerator. Yep. That's what I'm going to say.
Yep. Good lesson.
So, Joey, question for you.
Yeah.
So you seem to have a strange undercurrent of bad things happening to you in the woods.
Yeah.
In the movies that you've made between Cabin Fever and Big Bear and so forth.
That's true. I didn't even think about that.
Is that are you an outdoorsy guy?
I do like the outdoors a lot. Yeah, I mean, I'm from Kentucky, but I don't go camping that much. You know, maybe that's because of these movies that I've been subconsciously. Right. I don't trust it. That's interesting. Maybe you'd think that instead of having a lot of stoner fans, I'd have a lot of outdoorsy fans. Mm-hmm. Or bear fans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But or maybe they're just like, you're turning people off. From I guess Big Bear, it doesn't necessarily like. I mean, in many ways, the nature becomes a redeeming force in that movie.
Cabin Fever, nothing. It's just flesh eating bacteria.
It's just there's just flesh eating bacteria around in the water. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I hadn't thought about that, but the one movie that we made together, you know, it was The Office Space. That was the danger. So I don't know.
And I think really, certainly in modern day America, offices are killing a lot more Americans than nature.
True.
True. Yeah.
I don't think we want to discourage people from getting out and seeing nature.
No. Get out of the
office. Like that you're going in for a movie and they're like, listen, it's going to be out in the woods again. You're like, I'm not going to do this part. And you know why? Because we need to encourage people to go out into nature.
Yeah. Unless we can have a disclaimer at the end saying, let don't. This in no way.
Sequoia. Rated R. But you've done, you know, it's interesting because you've done sort of both sort of horror and comedy,
mm-hmm.
Which...
And horror and, comedy.
And horror mm-hmm. comedy, certainly with us. And do you, you know, they seem... There's such particular groups of fans, kind of. But the horror people seems to be much kind of more connected to their
horror
culture.
Yeah, the horror fans are strong. They're intense. There's a lot of you know, big conventions and stuff like that that they do with that. A lot of horror fans show up and kind of traditionally horror movies do much better at the box office and things like that because there are so many fans of it.
They are very loyal.
They are very loyal.
They'll go see all sorts of terrible nonsense for the one good one.
There's more that goes along with it, too. Like, at those conventions, there's a lot of cosplaying, whereas, like, you don't really cosplay for comedy much.
No.
I have an incredible Groundhog Day cosplay outfit. It's me doing the weather. It's beautiful.
It's interesting that, you know, because for some reason horror seems to be much more universal. You know, people can kind of understand or kind of sympathize with the same kind of fear. But when it comes to humor, you know, it really doesn't, things don't necessarily cross over from one group of friends to the next or, you know, even to different countries.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and that, I think that's one of the hard ways to get it financed is because, you know, there's no international move to be made for a lot of comedy sales.
Right.
But horror, I mean, you can go to Peru and, you know, Spain, and they're watching the same horror movies.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So before we move forward here, Sean, how are you doing?
I'm okay. I'm fine.
Okay.
It's really like not a whole lot. Yeah, no, not really. It started to get a little bit bright, a little bit constricted. You know, your body can tell something's about to happen.
Right.
Does it say? Sorry, I've never had any kind of packaged edibles. Does it say like this is the equivalent of like smoking like four bong hits or?
You know, It just really is more about the milligrams. So one of these was 40
all
milligrams.
All about the milligrams.
All about, right? So,
all about the MGs.
No, but honestly, like my advice to anybody listening who's thinking about edibles is go by 10 milligram doses. So most of the things you get, like if you get a chocolate bar, say it's 100 milligrams, each of those squares is going to be 10 milligrams. Start with one. Go slow. I ate 40 at once because I've done this before. So
you're a professional.
I'm a professional.
40 milligrams, not 40 almond butter cups.
Exactly. 40 milligrams in one almond butter cup. So about four doses is what I took all at once. So in about, you know, 10, 15 minutes, something should be going on. Well, or I'm just, you know.
And that's why I think it's funny when people are like, oh, you know, I like to cook with my own butter or do this or that. I'm like, that's very industrious of you, but you can't tell at all.
It can be dangerous.
How much you're. How much
I was with some friends, and we were like, one guy was always like, "Let's make some, let's make, you know, pot brownies and stuff." And so we did the whole butter, and we were like, I think we maybe smoked a little bit, and they're like, "All right, then we've got the butter. All right, who's got the brownie mix? What? There's no brownie mix? All right, we're putting four shots down, and we did shots of the butter, and it was bad.
Also, shots of butter.
I know. Well, that's what we were like. Oh, this will be bad. We'll just get past the taste. It was not sleeping for a day or two. That was the hard part.
Yeah.
So we have another segment that we're going to dive into right now. It's another game that we're going to play every week.
Does
each
have
and
a
every
fun
week.
Song to
it does.
Do?
Is
it a strange
or
something
else? It's called Strainer. Sean, yes. If you would like to introduce.
Thank you so much. So I'm going to be asking you, I'm going to be giving you names, and I want you to tell me if you think this is a strain of marijuana or a Mountain Dew flavor. So for this edition of Strainer, we're doing strain or Mountain Dew flavor. Alpine Blue.
That sounds like a Mountain Dew flavor.
No. Oh. Alpine Blue is a hybrid strain from Blue Mystic and Power Plant. It has a complex aroma of blueberry and woody pine. Good for daytime relief of anxiety and mood disorders, gastrointestinal pain, and inflammation.
And he's not even reading a card. He just knows these things.
Number two, Johnson City Gold.
That sounds like something Donald Trump does in Russia. I would say that Johnson City Gold, that's got to be a weed flavor.
That is a Mountain Dew flavor. Johnson City Gold was a Mountain Dew flavor variant and the significant drink in the regional Dew promotion. Its tagline was distinctive malt-flavored soda from the makers of Mountain Dew.
Scary.
Yeah, that's terrifying.
Number three, Schnazzleberry.
Schnazzleberry. Yikes. I would say that that is a Mountain Dew flavor.
Over three. Schnazzleberry is a hybrid strain from Blue Domino and Shishkaberry. It originates from Afghanistan, Mexico, and Thailand. It may taste fruity, spicy, earthy, sour, piney. When smoked, this strain can make you feel euphoria, creativity, calm, numbness, appetite gain, and pain relief.
I like how they name them like they name horses.
Yeah.
Like the two whoever sired the horse. Yeah.
Yep. I love how it's like creativity and numbness. I want to paint, but I can't move. Here we go. Number four, Morning Dew.
Mountain Dew?
That's a trick question. No. No, that is a strain of weed, right? Oh. Morning Dew is a hybrid of unspecified haze lineage. It has a deliciously sweet berry flavor and aroma. The strain balances full-bodied relaxation with gentle cerebral invigoration. She eases you gently into a calm euphoria, a perfect daytime medicine for those seeking to treat pain, depression, and nausea.
Doesn't Mountain Dew have like morning stuff though too? It's got scary.
Number five, Flavor 648.
Ooh, Flavor 640. I'm gonna hope that that's a weed strain.
Flavor 648.
Now I'm trying to shoot the moon here.
It was a Mountain Dew flavor variant that was one of seven prototype flavors for Dewmocracy 2, delivered to Dew Labs members for taste testing.
Man, who had any idea they were so busy at Mountain Dew?
Yeah, exactly. Right? They're not going to just rest on their laurels.
No. I thought with Baja Blast they'd retire, but no.
Number six, Sangrita Blast.
Sangrita, that's got to be a Mountain Dew flavor.
It is.
Oh.
Darn it. Didn't shoot the guns.
Sangrita Blast was a Mountain Dew flavor. It was previously exclusive to Taco Bell restaurants, but was released in stores briefly in 2015 for the summer. Its standard Taco Bell tagline was "Dew with a citrus punch," while its store release tagline was "Dew with a blast of natural and artificial citrus punch flavor." Medicino Perps.
Medicino Perps.
Mendocino or Mendocino?
Mendocino okay. Perps.
Well, that's got to be a weed. That's got to be a weed strain.
Oh, yes. He's heating up.
Here we go.
Hybrid strain born in Mendocino County, California. It's also known simply as the Perps or Perps. It's great for treating anxiety, PTSD, depression, bipolar disorder, cancer, and chronic pain.
And Mendocino Perps was my drag name. So that's perfect.
Yes. Number 8, Darth Dew.
Mountain Dew flavor?
Okay, good. Yes. Darth Dew was a Mountain Dew freeze Slurpee flavor, similar to Pitch Black and used to promote Star Wars Episode III Revenge of the Sith in the summer of 2005. Remember that movie?
All right, Sean, close this out here.
Number 9, Electric Charge Freeze.
Mountain Dew flavor.
Yes! It's a Mountain Dew freeze flavor. It's available at Sheetz and other U.S. convenience stores. Its tagline is "Dew with a blast of sour lemonade flavor."
All right, I think you got one more, right?
This is it.
Okay.
Mountain Dew Baja Blast.
Mountain Dew flavor?
Yes, but it's both. It is both. Oh. It is both a Mountain Dew flavor and now seeds that were 5 years in the makings. Yeah.
5 years.
5 years to make those seeds, guys.
Wow. I have a fun Taco Bell story if we have a second.
Sure.
Yeah. I was, and this is kind of a weed story as well. My buddy and I, I don't smoke that much anymore, but I used to. And my buddy and I, late at night, were like, oh, let's go to Taco Bell. You know, it's Monday. I think it was Monday night. So we get in there, and there's nobody. Pull up to the speaker, and my buddy's driving, and I was in the passenger side, and we kind of did this bit where I was like trying to yell over him, like, ma'am, I'll take it. And he's like, no, you tell me what you want. Okay, we'll do this like civilized gentlemen, and I will tell her, ma'am, I'm sorry, just one second. What would you like? And I'm like, okay, well, I want a burrito. I'll have a burrito. No, tell ma'am, he will have one burrito. And we kind of did this bit back and forth, cracking ourselves up, thinking it was hysterical. And finally, we put in our whole order, and then we're kind of talking, like, okay, wait, how much was it? How much was it, ma'am? I don't know. Just pull around. And we must have been there 10 minutes, and we pull up, and it's closed.
Oh.
We never noticed that no one else wasn't talking to us. We were just two guys in a car at a closed Taco Bell.
That's amazing. It was like you got your own comeuppance.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
So we're getting close to the end here, and I think it's about that time for us to check in on product review.
Woo! I think, honestly, playing the game of Strainor made it kick in more. Just by the amount of energy it took to read all of that information.
Right. So, but good body high, kind of.
We got
relaxing.
A good body high going on. I can feel it behind my eyes right now. It's working its way into my head. I think I'm going to have a real good time later. Guys, Supreme Organics Almond Butter Cups. Start slow. You can always eat more. You can never eat less. Thank you so much, Patrick, at Edibles Magazine, ediblemagazines.com. Sign up for their newsletter, guys.
All right. And that's pretty much it for us, and definitely for Sean.
He's a writer.
And please remember, just a last little PSA, as legalization sweeps the country, there's lots of Americans still locked up for dealing, possessing, and or even smoking marijuana. And weed should ruin your ability to drive, follow complicated movie plots, and occasionally even speak, but it should not ruin your life. So don't just legalize it, decriminalize it, and support clemency. And that is it for us. Thank you for listening to The Way Highway Live on iDobe.com or on the free iDobe app, or subscribing on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts, in back alleys, Amazon, I don't know. If you like what you heard, please tell everyone you know and follow us on Twitter at The Way Highway. You can also find Sean at Sean Cowick, me at Justin_Ware, or Dr. God at Dr. God Comedy. Special thanks to today's guest, Joey Kern. And
Thank you, Joey.
You're on the interwebs as well.
I have a very minimal social media presence at Joey Kern.
Yeah. But you know, minimal is not too bad in this day and age. I wish more people were a little more minimal. And special thanks to our producers, Nice Guy Digital and Dr. God Productions, and Katie and Brett.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening. And also listen to the Brett Davern Show.
Yeah.
And Katie LeClaire's wonderful show as well.
And hey,
thanks
remember,
so much to Adobe Radio. We very much have had a great time here.
And remember, if you want to ride high, always take the way highway. Thank you.
Thank you.